0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the dust begins to settle on the weekend's action, Malik Tillman says the chances of being a Rangers player next year are 50-50, and he'll speak to Michael Beale in the coming days. Callum McGregor is urging his teammates to use the Ibrox defeat as a learning experience, and we're about to get set for more midweek playoff action across the SPFL. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll still be plenty to mull over after the weekend's game at Ibrox, where Rangers ran out 3-0 winners. Rangers fans obviously will still be elated and see signs of promise for next season. Celtic fans may see it as a blip, nothing too concerned as they look to confirm a treble in the next few weeks. Plenty of league games for the bottom teams to consider this week, and it's still going to be exciting. And a big congratulation to the players who won the respective awards on Sunday night. We were all there. Some of us could be bothered
where
going.
Are you? Why are we not
others
there?
Others could not be bothered going. One man stand to my left.
Like, why do you not just enjoy your night and congratulate everybody? Unfortunately, I couldn't make it.
What on earth did you have to do on a Sunday night that was better than that?
Nothing really. I was quite busy. I had important stuff to do. I would otherwise engaged. I'd committed to another.
But I mean, Mark Wilson was there, Hugh Keevans, Roger Hanna.
You've just answered the question.
And you were.
They were all there, Gordon.
Everyone was wondering why you were where you were.
I just don't fit in amongst all those superstars.
You're a previous winner of a Player of the Year award.
Listen, I've been there, had my time. It's up to the young ones now.
Do you know at what point I really did miss you? I thought you would have loved it, because I know you give him a hard time. He would have loved Fraser's speech, eh? Fraser's speech was brilliant.
Was it good?
Oh, you'd have loved it.
By the way, you could hear a pin drop for about 25 minutes. I was ran on a bit.
Oh, you'd have loved it. But he was
great.
In good form.
He was good.
Now, if yous are bringing that up, I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
What do you mean?
Because that is not the true story.
Oh, I just don't know if it was up your street. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, was it? Bit emotional and all that.
Good for Mark tonight.
He done great. You know, for
oh,
people.
Oh, hold it. Did they sort of bum yous two up and left me out?
No, never mind. Anyway, 0141 951.
Bald Eagle will be getting it.
1025. That is the number you need to come on down and let us know what is on your mind tonight. Generally, it does take a couple of days to get over weekend action here in Glasgow and the West. Even the so-called meaningless weekends, it takes a while to get over. So I think there were, you know, in all seriousness, conclusions to be drawn from that game at the weekend. I know you Rangers fans in particular are all sort of looking to the future and whether players that came into the team can stay in the team, whether you can look to them in the future next season. What, in fact, for instance, Malik Tillman's a great example, because he, I think surprisingly, appeared at the PFA Scotland Awards the other night, picked up his Young Player of the Year awards. I'm not sure he was necessarily expected to be there, given that he was away back in Munich. And some interesting comments. Says his chances of being a Rangers player next year are 50-50 in his head, and it's up to the clubs to decide. So what would you make of that, Rangers fans? Where do you sit on the 50-50? Which side do you hope he chooses? And let us know how you think that future will pan out. 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from Celtic captain Callum McGregor. Hoops fans, if you want to put a Celtic spin on things, you can do that on the same number as well. And anything else, fallout from the weekend, looking forward, playoff games, maybe you're already casting your mind to next season. The only thing is, not many teams can do that, Mark Wilson, when you think of what lies ahead. It's a bit early for a weekend preview, but the end of season for the race for Europe and the relegation is going to be blockbuster.
It certainly is, and it's been that way the full season. You know, the race for Europe is intriguing because it means so much to clubs. Financially, it means so much to clubs. You only have to look at Hearts and what it did for their budget this season and what it led to them doing in terms of replacing their manager. Aberdeen, you could argue the same, that they thought they were going down one road. They seen European football probably escaping from them, so they decided to change their manager also. And it's came down to the last few weeks, and both teams still in there, and then at the bottom of the table. I mean, I've been there before, where you get to this stage of the season and you are at the bottom of the league you know that's within your grasp to get out of it, but you also know you're at the bottom of the league for a reason, because you've been so poor all season. And it's the nerves surrounding a club at that time. The nerves surrounding a club is much greater than those fighting for European places. I've been at both ends, and when you know relegation might affect staff at your club behind the scenes, it might be the difference from them keeping their job and losing a job. Believe me, the pressure on your shoulders, even on a Tuesday when the game's a Saturday, is huge. So lots to consider for those guys going into this weekend.
Yes, lots to look forward to. Like I say, possibly a bit early to properly preview those games, but general thoughts, send them our way. 01419511025. I don't know what else is out there. Maybe you watched English football last night, maybe there was nothing else on and you decided, after we finished of course, to switch it over. Maybe you saw them explaining their VAR decisions. I wonder if that's something that interested you, and something you would look for us to do up here, or maybe it didn't tick enough boxes for you. You can let us know. That's just another thought that came to me there. 01419511025. Let's hear from Malik Tillman, Young Player of the Year, back in Glasgow. I think we thought we had seen the last of him for now, and here's what he had to say on his Rangers future. But what do you think out there? Give us a call.
I hope for a better ending, but it's quite common in football to get injuries, so I'm just unlucky to be one of them. But yeah, I think I had a great time here. It might not be the end, so we will see what's going to happen in summer. It's, I don't know, 50-50. It's up to Rangers, up to Bayern and up to me, so it's completely open. I'm going to speak to Michael Beale in the next coming days, and then see what he's saying, see what Bayern's saying, and then I will decide.
What did you make of that, Mark Wilson? Like I say, I thought it was interesting enough that he was there, and he was asked quite directly, how would you rate your chances of being a Rangers player next season? 50-50, and he's still to make his mind up on his part of it.
If I'm being honest, on the night when I was there, I was surprised, like yourself, that he was there. I wasn't overly blown away with that he was desperate to be there. You know, it just struck me as... He seemed a bit dejected, even though he'd won this award.
I think you're just a young, shy maybe, guy, though. Let's be honest.
Maybe as in it's a difficult thing for young players to go up there and stand that stage with everybody looking at
them. This way, he came from Germany for it. That was his own story.
But I thought it was quite interesting. 50-50. Look, he's been at Rangers. He's performed well this season. The club, he gets to play in front of 50,000, so that is the obvious buy-in for him. Chance to play European football. But he didn't seem desperate to me.
I think that's just his character.
You think so? If I was sitting there, if I was a betting man, which I occasionally am badly, I would say he wouldn't be at Rangers next season. From both parties, that is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if now Rangers will pay £5 million. And I don't know if Malik Tillman seemed desperate, in my opinion, to jump at the chance to come back.
What does Scott on the line think, Scott?
I think I agree with everything that Mark said there.
Oh dear.
That was my point to come on and say about Tillman. I think he's a very good technical player. He's good at Ibrox. I don't think he turns up in the biggest game that we've got this season against Celtic. He never has. The same with Morelos. Never turns up against Celtic. I reckon if Tillman and Morelos, and probably as far as say as Kent played on Saturday there, we probably wouldn't have beat Celtic. I think the energy in the team on Saturday, especially the way they played, got the result. But especially Tillman, every time I've watched him against Celtic or bigger teams, he just does not turn up at all. I would not pay £5 million for him. There must be, in fact, there's got to be better players out there than him. You get more of your money worth.
Do you think that's something he could add, though, Scott, with A, age and experience, because he's only 20, and B, with a better team around him? Because, you know, the team that he played in for Rangers, certainly in the first few of those meetings with Celtic, wasn't very good in those games overall. Do you think it's something he could add?
It's definitely something that he could possibly add. For me, though, when you look at him, it takes about 3 touches to get a first touch, and by then somebody's already put a tackle in against him. I think he gets in the right area in the boxes. He can create goals, but he doesn't have the field. A lot of players don't have the field package, but he doesn't have the field package. For me, he's definitely not a £5 million player.
I'm on the fence, and the reason I'm on the fence, I think the boy's got terrific talent. But I think you made 2 great points there. I think his age, I think he would benefit for another season. I think he'd be better next year. And obviously there'll be more quality coming in. Different style of football may suit him. pay 5 million for him? That is a massive question mark. Depends how much of that budget and how big that budget is. If it was my biggest part, I used to call it the cake, if it was the biggest part of the cake, this biggest slice, I wouldn't be eating that one.
You feel too much cake.
What did you make of, you know, the, it sounds so, Rangers have a decision to make, mm-hmm. Bayern have a decision to make, and he has a decision to make, on which he says he's still to make up his mind and he'll speak to Michael Beale in the coming days.
Do you not think it's a case of he's probably sat down with Bayern Munich, he's had a chat about where they see his future as well? They could make his mind up, because if he goes back there and they don't give him any encouragement from his loan spell at Rangers, then the boy has got to be looking to get out and play regular first team football. If he goes back there and said, look, we've looked at you, you've won Young Player of the Year, I do agree with Scott. At times in the big ones, I think he's hurt himself there with his reputation, but I think that will come for him, because I do think he has a very, very good talent. There's a three-way here. One, I think Mark said it, is Rangers prepared to pay that money? Is Tillman want to come to Scotland permanently? And is Bayern Munich want to just cash in?
I think Tillman could be the driver in this, though. I think he can say,
Michael Beale always sounds like he wants it to happen.
Does.
Can't imagine Bayern would be desperate to hang on. So
for a player, if Tillman is desperate to come back, and he loved his time here, he's in double figures of goals, which is a good return for a midfielder, and he's desperate to come back permanent, I think he can drive it, he can push it. Now, whether 5 million, could that be renegotiated?
It's just always the figure that's been sort of set there, hasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm surely there's some scope. If Rangers weren't willing to pay that, there's some scope. But my point is, Tillman's the one that's got to go in and say to Bayern, look, I've loved my time here, however, I need to move on, and I've found a place I'm happy with. I didn't grasp that from him the other night, and I know it was only a 5-minute speech.
Yeah, I'm amazed that after one or two refreshments, you have got yourself down as some sort of psychologist.
I could tell his body language.
I'm astonished at that, I must admit.
Yeah.
I really do. Because at the same time, because a few people are pointing out Ryan Clark Kent on there and Scott Lorimer, he's contracted to Bayern Munich, right? He's not going to stand there necessarily and say, I'm absolutely desperate to get out of that hellhole and I want to go to Rangers. And also, it is still a decision to make. I've seen a lot of this on social media. I get why. We all do it as football fans. You want players to sort of outwardly explore their desperation to come to your club. He's still a 20-year-old guy who needs to decide if he wants to uproot his life on a semi-permanent basis and come here. It's still a big decision.
Yeah.
Do you know why we're not taking into consideration? And he's quite right to do it. He's injured at this moment in time. Season's over. He's 20 years of age. He's just one Young Player a year. He would probably have other options as well. And he may just sit back with his agent and take a deep breath without rushing in. That doesn't mean to say that he doesn't want to come and play with Rangers. Everybody does it. Every player does it. Every agent does it. They sit back there. They talk to other teams. They talk to other clubs. They have a good vibe of where the lad wants to be. Listen, still up in the air just now. I wouldn't rule it out.
I mean, Scott, for instance, and I know this is completely hypothetical, if it's 2 million, are you doing it, but it's the 5 or whatever that's putting you off? Or is it just not someone that you think adds anything to the team next year?
No, I think it's definitely the price tag. I really like Tillman. I really do. But I think he's still got a lot to learn in his game. Possibly that could come if he signs on. As Gordon says, he might have other alternatives. I just think in the big games I've watched him against Celtic, I don't even think he realises what a Celtic Rangers game's about. I've never seen that in him. I don't think, if I'm going to suggest it, I say he doesn't have the heart. Does that make sense?
I think that's a real tough one, Mark, because I couldn't contradict that. Couldn't say that's wrong. But to revisit a counter that I put to Scott earlier, see if Malik Tillman had played on Saturday there and everyone round about him had been bang at it and he stood out as a sore thumb, as somebody who was shrinking in it. But the games that we are talking about, the games that we are mentioning him as not stepping up to the mark, are games in which generally Celtic dominated Rangers and every Rangers player really was off it. I just feel like there's a slight contradiction, because if Rangers fans are going to say, by the way, we're impressed with Todd Cantwell and we're impressed with Nicholas Raskin, and this team's getting better, are we factoring in what Malik Tillman might look like in this new and improved version of the team, rather than the one that got battered earlier in the season? Where is that music coming from?
Anyway. You know what it's called.
It's actually not my phone, weirdly.
Listen, but tell me, look, you can see it too. I totally understand what you're saying there, because Celtic did win those games. The only argument against that was there was periods in those games where Rangers were the team in top. And for Tillman, if you're spending £5 million on an attacking midfielder who all his games about creativity and goals, he was probably the quietest one out of any of the players on show on those occasions. But that isn't to say that he couldn't fit in to those kind of performances that Rangers put up on Saturday. I think he is a good talent. I think with players around him that have been at the club a bit longer, like Cantwell and Raskin, that he could succeed. But £5 million 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, I said, I think it is a bit much. I think if that could be renegotiated down to closer half that, then that would be a done deal.
I think to try and make it a bit clearer, Gordon, it's not that it's wrong to say that he's not been good in the big games. Like I say, you couldn't argue with that. I just wonder if it's appropriate to use that as like the main reason from games that Rangers as a team were just beaten in, you know, like just second best all over the place.
Yeah, I wouldn't be making my judgment on whether he played well against Celtic or not. You've got the situation. You're buying potential. You think at £5 million in 2-3 years' time, when he's played a lot of football games, then you're going to cash in that, because that's what you'll need to do. You'll need to pay that money. Mark's already said that he wouldn't pay the £5 million. Right now, I like the boy. I think he's very talented. I'm in Mark's camp. If I was Rangers right now, I don't think I'd be concentrating £5 million in my budget going to Tillman.
Maybe I'm just digging too deep here and confusing things, though. I'm not an expert on how football budgets work. Are you actually paying £5 million right now this summer? I mean, probably not. Is that the way you would think of it? Deals would probably be structured in a different way. You're not transferring over £5 million in one go, probably. I don't know. Does that come into it, or is that still the way you would budget for it?
Yeah, I think they would want obviously a percentage up, and obviously a percentage of selling on as well. There'll be a lot of negotiating be done in that. As I say, I think the boy's a great talent. Mark was saying, can you negotiate? I think Bayern Munich are sitting there, if Rangers go and say, look, we agreed £5 million, but we're now thinking about 2.5, they've got to come back and say,
no,
he's just won young player of the year in your country. You ain't getting it.
Generally speaking, Scott, if it's not Tillman, are you still got faith in sort of rebuilding and going forward next season?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got the faith. I just think, again, I don't know how much the budget we've got to buy players. I agree with what Gordon Mark says there. It's the £5 million tag. I think if Rangers were to get him, you find that it won't be £5 million. But again, how does that go down when he's just young, one young player a year? I'd rather never want it.
It's an interesting one, because now you need to pay the £5 million, or he might be more. Might try and attract interest from elsewhere. Look good in the CV, that stuff, doesn't it? Obviously,
of course,
and you've only been here one season. Yeah,
I think you make a great point, which could swing it for Rangers. It won't be now transfers. Probably you can go and negotiate and say, look, it's £2 million up front. We'll pay you in X, Y, and Z. Of course you can, but it's whether you see the overall picture of, if he doesn't make it the way you want, you're still paying £5 million.
Tell you what, there's a good debate raging here on Twitter, which I will read out, don't get me wrong, but go on, give us a call, one of you. 01419511025, we'll do it next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One, Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB, where, after playing that Malik Tillman interview, the debate is raging, I must say. Shorty says we paid £7 million for Kent and Tillman's had a better season. His stats are superior to what Aribo did at Rangers. It's his first ever season, can only get better. Played a massive part in Rangers getting into the Champions League. And Scott Lorimer says, I don't think Tillman will be back next season, although for his first full season in professional football, I think some of the stick he's had is unfair. What about Stuart in Greenock? Which side of that fence would you sit on, Stuart?
I would sign my boy. Definitely. I think you're guaranteed to make money on the boy. So I do. He's only going to get better. He's 20 years of age. I think he's a great player. And I think he'll only get better, to be honest with you.
Without being an expert in football finance, I can understand that. It feels like if you sign a 20-year-old with the Bayern Munich thing on his CV, with the player of the year, whatever, added to the mix, worst case scenario, probably sell him next year. Maybe not make money. Right, Stuart saying you're guaranteed to make money. I don't know. I couldn't go that far. He might be absolutely rotten. But you know, it still seems like an okay investment. No, I know what you're saying, because I know 5 million sounds a lot.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was sitting there listening to you reading tweets out, and the lad made a good point. They wasted 7 million in Kent and didn't cash in at the right time, and they're going to lose that. 5 million, it's a great debate, because I think a lot of Rangers fans there will be ticking the box yes, and a lot will be saying no, it's too much for a 20-year-old. Will he get better if he stays fit? Yes, he certainly will, because I think he's a very talented
player. But
that's
player. The point, isn't it? Is it not it's the 20-year-old bit that Stuart thinks makes it a good, you know, you're saying it's too much for a 20-year-old, but everybody tries to buy potential now, don't they?
No, I didn't say it was too much, but I just think...
That is quite specifically what you said, but
no,
anyway.
Right, I didn't mean it was too much. I just think that if you're going to spend that money, then 20-year-old, fine. But you cannot guarantee anything because you don't know if the lad's got to pick up an injury. You don't know how the lad's got to settle in again. You don't know how his form's going to be. They wasted 7 million Kent. But... Michael Bale certainly wants him as part of his rebuild.
I think that's what I'm saying. Generally though, Mark, we think here that because to us, and we know we're not the richest league, to us 5 million sounds like a lot of money. We think that for 5 million you should sign the finished article. But actually, our club's going and signing a 28-year-old or a 27-year-old at 5 million might be more of a risk than doing this.
Oh, I think it is.
You know, I think Rangers, from what you hear, John Bennett, James Bisgrove, and whatever's going to happen in the footballing department, it feels like they're conscious to reduce the age a bit. You know, well, look at Raskin, Cantwell, and I know this is hard to hear, right? This is hard to hear as a football fan, because it's not the way you're brought up to think about football. If Rangers have got this structure in place and a plan, they should already be thinking, when do you move Nicholas Raskin on? When do you move Todd Cantwell on? Do it at the right time. That's the idea.
Yeah, their player trading model has to change. You only have to look at what's happening this summer to see it clearly does not work. And people will throw back then, oh well, what about Bassey and Aribo? Okay, those two, but the most saleable assets and the ones that you were going to get the most money for didn't work, so it needs to change. So for Tillman, I think it is less of a gamble paying 5 million for a 20-year-old than a 26 or 27-year-old. But you need to get the return. Look at Celtic with Jota and Carter Vickers. They had them on loan, looked good, but they're still negotiating to be done to get them there, and it turned out the right deal, and they probably will be sold on. But Tillman, that bit younger, you have the potential, you have the years on your side that you could keep him for 3 years still, and he still might be worth similar amount, or you would hope he was worth treble that.
Stuart, to be fair though, it's a fair comment. Lots of people are making it. They don't think he's done overly well in big games this season. What would you say to that?
I think that's because he's young. He scored in Europe for us, a very important goal. So he did. So I think it's just because he's young. That's what I would put that down to.
Yeah, I'll tell you another example Mark was talking about. Rangers might just look on the situation of Nathan Patterson, for instance. Young player that hardly played. Everton come in, paid £9 million for him.
Upwards, wasn't it, in some regards, depending on
the
add-ons
and all that. Which is a great bit of business. Look, I don't think anybody will question the boy's ability, because I think he's got fantastic ability. It's just that chunk of the £5 million for me. Now, if they're going to pay it £1 million a year for the next 5 years... It's a no-brainer. You take him, and if he wants to come, then it's a good bit of business. So it'll all depend on, and also how much Bayern Munich will want on the sell on.
Yeah, I think there is a few people have tweeted about that as well. You never know exactly the or an option to buy back, I think. Some of the tweets would mention that.
I think Daz makes a good point, though. The chunk of what Michael Beale's got
this summer and
this summer,
how much of it goes.
It does, right. Yep. If it's an instalment, it's fine. Because but if Michael Beale's got 10 million to spend and he's taking half and one young player, a very good young player, he's got an awful lot of positions to fill.
Because I suppose it's just the way it is at Rangers at the moment, that there's less room for error. I mean, to be fair, Celtic have got most of the signings right, not all, but they've got most. And there's maybe a bit more wiggle room there. For instance, you know, Celtic are heading into the Champions League group stages next season, guaranteed. Rangers, we're not quite sure yet. There are probably quite a few assets in that Celtic team currently before the arrival of Cantwell and Raskin. And now we know what's happened with Kent and Morelos. You might be saying, okay, not that many assets left in the Rangers team. So it's about weighing up the risk, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think you've got to try and player model, as Mark said, the way you go about it, try and build that sort of a market where you have got sellable assets. There's no doubt in that. Now you look at, for instance, who's impressed me. I think his first two signs impressed me, Raskin and Cantwell. I think Cantwell's been absolutely terrific since he came in. So you might just look at this young energy getting about. But once again, you look at Tillman, I'm 50-50. That's not a done deal. I just think it's how the deal will be set up. Signing the lad, ability-wise, it's no-brainer for me. I think he's a top player.
I think it's always been quite clear, Stuart, that Michael Beale wants to do it. I mean, is that the impression you've got?
But I agree, I wouldn't pay $5 million up front for him, to be honest with you. I wouldn't take, depending on how much money we've got, I wouldn't pay $5 million up front for him. But I'd pay $3 million.
Yeah, and this is where it gets quite intricate, because let's be honest, we're never going to
stick to everybody so specific, even us.
That's
with
my
millions.
Point. I kind of regret bringing that up, because you're never going to know fully how the deal's structured, and maybe I've confused things a bit too much. Because
yeah, but fans are like simple things. They see it on the back page of the papers as well. They hear us talking about it because we've been fed what it could be. And it sticks in their head, and they're right, especially Rangers fans, because, like you say, there is less wriggle room. The transfer budget, although Michael Beale's happy with it, it's not endless, and he's got an awful lot of positions to fill. So it's a big job for the Rangers manager to get all those moving parts right.
Thank you to Stuart and Greenock. It was nice to speak to you, Stuart, on 01419511025. And we are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. So get in touch and let us know what's on your mind tonight. What have we got? I thought we had another call coming through. I think we're going to speak to David in just a second. We've got some Callum McGregor stuff to play a bit later on. In fact, in the not too distant future, Celtic fans, why don't you get in touch? Let us know now the dust has settled on the weekend, what you're thinking. I suppose it's all eyes really towards the Scottish Cup final, but there are some big games to be played for the other teams before then. So it'll be fascinating to see how those play out. So just a quick reminder, you can get us on the phones or on Twitter. David in Livingston has given us a call. What's your main point for the guys tonight, David?
My main point's about Robbie McCrory. Obviously, what they think of his performances, the two games he's had the chance on, and obviously, as I say, just to see what they think, if he deserves a chance to be the number one, rather than signing a number one goalkeeper to come in.
Right, come on. Before we get to these two, David, what do you think? Do you think number one is a serious proposition next season?
I do, yes. I called in 2 weeks ago, and as I say, I was the one that was going about players' wages, and I googled them, and Gordon asked how I knew everybody's wages. So hopefully he's been doing his homework since then. But no, I think he does. I said it 2 weeks ago, he deserves a chance, you know. I was one that said that I thought Rangers missed a chance in signing Xander Clark when he was a free agent. But definitely, I think he's played 4 games for Rangers, and I've said that it's the big games, and he's definitely got a big save in him, and without a doubt deserves a chance. I don't think we need to be spending a lot of money on a goalkeeper to play in the SPL. And even with John McLaughlin, he's had his chance and he's not took it. I think he's good enough to be a number two for Rangers, and the money can go into the team rather than the goalkeepers, signing a goalkeeper. As I say, we had a good result on Saturday. I wouldn't get carried away. Celtic didn't play their strongest team, but we've done well. But obviously Michael Beale's got a chance now to give these people he wants to keep or looking at to keep on for next season. Give them a chance now up to the end of the season. And as I say, nothing to lose with that. So he's got an eye for a player. He's brought in Cantwell. He's brought in Raskin. And they've turned the team round. And I say, the goalkeeping situation, why not give Robbie the chance?
Here's the thing though, David, just on that, because pure numbers game, Alan McGregor, if he leaves, Rangers are going to sign another keeper. I mean, you've sort of got Robbie McCrory as number one, John McLaughlin as number two, and you don't want to see any money you know, put into the goalkeeping situation where it can be used elsewhere. Surely Rangers are signing another keeper.
Yes, like, I agree what you're saying there. What I'm saying is, it's like, when I phoned in a couple of weeks ago, it's more about the Jack Butland situation. I did say 45 grand a week to keep John, he's not number one down in England, but I just don't feel we need to spend that kind of money, like, on wages on a goalkeeper. But yeah, I do agree, you still need to bring in another keeper. But right. I feel Robbie McCrory's good enough to keep the number one just now. He's got the end of the season to prove himself. So he's four clean sheets, give him the chance.
Certainly has got the four clean sheets. Can you see Robbie McCrory being Rangers number one next season?
Possibly not. I think the boys had pass marks. I think he's been excellent. I think David sums it up there. If you get in as a goalkeeper and you keep four clean sheets, and he's played against good teams. You know, he's played against Celtic, and he's twice obviously, and he's played against Aberdeen as well. So he'll play the remainder of the games. If he's fit, he'll play the remainder of the games probably. But I think, like you said, Gordon,
no farewell game for Alan McGregor.
No, it's a 20 minutes at the end, and then he'll sign a new contract. I've got it written down there. David knows everybody's wages. I know their contract situations. I just think that I think that the boys deserved his chance. He's waited long enough. And to be fair to Michael Beale, he did say that he was going to give him an opportunity, and he stood by his word. And the boys not let him down. He's been terrific. But Rangers will probably go out and spend a few pounds on a new goalkeeper.
Mark Wilson, is he going to be Rangers number one next season?
I don't think he'll walk through a door in pre-season as the number one, but there's every chance he might elevate himself to that throughout the season. I think he's certainly done enough to be number two and be in with a shout. And I wonder, is there parallels between him and McGregor, how his career's kind of panned out with McGregor going on loan early on his career and having to really bide his time before taking his chance, and then for the next 15 years or whatever it's been, he's been the outstanding goalkeeper he is. Might that be something for him to look to? I think Rangers will sign another goalkeeper. Well, they definitely will sign another goalkeeper. It's whether McCrory's got the ability and strength in pre-season to force themselves into Michael Beale's thinking for number one. May just get a fair crack at the whip, may come back and he says to both keepers, on you go. But certainly done well in the games he's played.
Next three games as well, it could be really important to him. If you finish in a high like he's doing,
do you think
now,
it genuinely changes anything, that though? I get what you're saying, it, for fans, and there'll be a perception. Do you not feel like Michael Beale's decided right now whether he's going to bring in a sort of higher profile keeper or not?
I think he did about 2 or 3 weeks ago, 100%. But when you give somebody an opportunity, there's time to change your mind, you know.
Thank you, David. 01419511025. We're going to hear from Callum McGregor next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. 01419511025. Just very briefly before we go any further, something I just noticed during the break, very disturbing. Is there a reason you've got your slippers on?
Thanks for outing me. I've got the shoulder.
I mean, seriously, what? Can you not just like navigate through a day without doing something weird? That's all Mark and I are looking for from you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, first and foremost, they're designers, if you
like. They're not. Absolutely not.
See people at home, right? Imagine old men's slippers, and you can imagine what he's got in his feet.
Checked.
Checked
once. Bobbly.
As the specials, £9, boom, two pair just in case one rips. I've got to say, I need a chiropodist, my foot's killing me. But I'm only prepared to pay 50% because it's only my right one.
So who gave you the advice that wearing your slippers to work would help that? Because I don't feel like slippers give you much natural support. I thought a nice comfortable training shoe would have been better.
Well, I've got training shoes, as you know, but obviously the width of the slipper has helped my foot. So
he's improved it for you last week though, because he had the sock. I remember hanging off the toes.
It just feels like there's always some mild drama that
there is.
He lives a complicated life.
I'm having to protect the foot. That's all I'm saying. I've got to protect it.
And if there are any
chiropodists,
no traffic police listening, he didn't drive here in his slippers. No, I don't
I've
know
got,
if there's
I've
rules against that.
I've got my joggies out there. I've got my trainers.
Didn't ask
there.
About your trousers.
Yeah, I've got my trainers in the car.
Put your trousers
I would,
on, please.
I wouldn't drive.
And put your trousers back on. To be fair. The slippers are one thing, but Mark and I are struggling here. Pull them up. Come on.
The boxers match.
Pull
slippers.
Them up. That is out of order. 01419511025. Let's bring in Brian in a second after we hear quickly from Callum McGregor.
We've been good enough over the course of the season to say that we're champions. We've had a bad day today. We have to understand what that means to us as a group and us and to the supporters. You know, that's not acceptable. We'll dust ourselves down and we'll go again. That's what the league is. It's competitive. We're always pushing to get better. We're pushing to get better. They're pushing to get better. And we're not immune to that either. We have to get better. You see, today, if you're not right and you're not at the level, then that's what can happen. Every football game, whether it be positive or negative result, then you always look at a reaction and what the players are like, what they like the next few days in training, and then when you get the chance to put it right in the game, then you always look at that. So, like you said, there has to be a reaction between now and the end of the season.
So let's bring in Brian, who's a Celtic fan on the line. Brian, how are you?
I am very well, actually, considering the scoreline on Saturday. Yes, I agree with him. You know, like, I agree with Callum. Callum was poor on Saturday compared to Callum's normal game, but he wasn't the only one. Bearing in mind the amount of players that were missing, that would be first picks. But, and this is the but, fair play to Rangers. They won the day. They deserve to win. They deserve to win that game. But when it comes to the big games and the games that really matter, the points, the Ooty Cups, the whole round of the season, because St Mirren beat us this season. They, you know, like, we don't speak about, oh, St Mirren are building to this. Rangers, I know, played a very good game and they've played better under Beale than they did at the beginning of the season. And I'm gently listening to you guys every other week talking the Beale revelation up, and it's coming and all it's going to be next season. I don't hear you saying, but Celtic's not going to stand still. I mean, like, the motto is we never stop. He's looking for better players than a team that is just about to win a treble if we beat Inverness Cali. He wants better. He wants better. And that's what Callum's post, his interview there was about. It was about being better in every game that we play. That's the reason why we went after the St Mirren game, all those games undefeated and playing very attractive football, is because they were asking questions of ourselves. We are not going to be waiting for Rangers at the beginning of the season to catch up. We are going to be picking up players in markets that Ange seems to have a tap on. And we will be a better team than what we were this year. I mean, to win the treble again, hopefully. And hopefully we win it this year. I'm not being disrespectful to Inverness, but hopefully we win it this season to complete a world record, a true world record, 8 trebles as a domestic trophies. So right now, I'm very happy with my season. On Saturday, sick to my stomach, I wouldn't like to lose tiddlywinks to Rangers. But I'm big enough, man enough to say, on the day, they were by far a better side. They wanted it more. They started off better. There was our big players, Callum McGregor, one of them. Joe, going through your legs, Joe. Nice. Shut your legs. The end of the day, our big players didn't turn up, and their big players did.
Listen, I couldn't agree more, Brian, right? I think you're reading it a wee bit unfair on us when you say you listen to us, you know, over the week saying this Michael Beale revolution's coming, and, you know, we don't give Celtic any credit in terms of saying they're going to strengthen as well. We have continually said that Celtic won't stand still, and Ange Postecoglou will sign new players as well as Michael Beale. So, you know, we agree with you on that, and Rangers did deserve to win the game. Celtic were off it. But the signings that Ange Postecoglou are going to go for in the summer, you know, they have to improve the side. The ones that he signed, the majority of them, he's got a big tick beside his name for loads of them. You name them, he's got them. But there's been some that's not been a success, and they played on Saturday. Bernabe Kobayashi looked way off it. Oh, listen, fine margins, well, if it goes in, we're talking about him in a different light.
Bit younger, but that is, bit newer.
Yeah, but that is the fine lines when you play for a club like Celtic in big games like that. So there is evidence that Ange Postecoglou certainly knows what he's doing in the transfer window. He's made this team young, dynamic, exciting to watch with these players. But there are some that don't get a big tick at this minute in time, and Ange Postecoglou needs to minimise that. If he's not standing still, he's wanting his team to get better. He's wanting his team to improve the lead over Rangers, because let's be honest, that is the goal. He'll want to retain the cup competitions if he wins the Scottish Cup against Inverness, and he'll want to get better in Europe. Those signings have got to improve the team when he makes them.
There's not a manager in this game that's had every signing perfect. And I think where the Celtic fans take heart of Ange Postecoglou has got more right than he's got wrong. So they believe that the next batch coming in will be even better again. Now, you can't guarantee that, because Mark said Derry's brought in a few players that haven't hit the ground running. And also, if you look over that, the Rangers fans have looked at Rangers with Michael Beale, two signings. Raskin and Cantwell have been good signings, look good. He's the same. He's got a massive summer as well. It's all about getting it right. And if Celtic are going to kick on, never stop, and do what they're going to do, then those summer signings have got to be better than what he's got.
But that's the point, I suppose, isn't it? Why Brian would feel optimistic. We said it earlier. Obviously, Rangers start behind that, and the financial situation with, well, we don't know what happens yet with Champions League, but even the current financial picture would probably, I mean, Rangers need to get pretty much them all right. I mean, if Celtic go and sign, for instance, three players this summer, two work out and one don't, that's still a good ratio, yeah. And you can, Celtic would be fine with that, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Whether Rangers need to, yeah, there's a lot of positions
saying,
that
not
need
like
filled.
I say, I'm not saying, because as Gordon mentions, there is not a team in the world that gets 100% their signing
right. Not.
Of course not. But about getting as close to that as possible.
But you need your players to have an effect in some respect. Now, whether that's playing a bit part, but coming on in the big games and maybe scoring against Celtic or making an imprint against Celtic, you need them to make an impact. Ange Postecoglou's signings, from the day he walked in, the majority of them did that. In the big games, someone even on their debuts went in and had outstanding performances or scored goals, or they all chipped in some respect. Now, that's built.
Is that, like, you know, is that where the bar's been set? Is that where it's slightly unfair on someone like O? Because normally you talk about, well, look, young guys come over to new league, new country, it's going to take a while to settle in. But Celtic kind of blew that away, because Hatate didn't need any time, and Kyogo didn't need any time, and Alistair Johnson didn't need any time.
Yeah.
And you know, the list sort of goes
I think we go too quick in that, Mark. I really do. You talk about O there. You're right. Fine margins. He goes through the weekend there, and it's a lovely chip. The only thing that denies him is the fact that it comes off the post. That goes in. We're talking differently about it.
I'm so torn on this, because I get that, and I think, yeah, I said it at the weekend, but you would also understand someone who just says, yeah, but you need to score them. Don't care.
Yeah, totally understand that as well. But he's a 20-year-old lad. We're talking about Tillman, 20 years of age. Rangers are fans of come on this phone and tweeting in saying, certainly sign him, potential, and they're talking about sell on in 2 or 3 years down the line. I think it's the same with O. I think he's got to be given the opportunity first year in Scotland.
Thank you, Brian. It's that time already. What a quick show this has been.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Strong start to the week for the Pundits. A 5-3 win for Kenny Miller last night. Let's see if we can do better tonight, listeners. 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7. This might particularly appeal to you Celtic fans, but maybe you're not a Celtic fan and you can win the tickets and put them to a good home anyway. Whoever gets through to play Beat the Pundit tonight gets 4 tickets to a night with Scott Brown and Mikael Lustig at the Hydro. It's this Thursday, actually, the 18th of May. So either you'll go and have a night out on us, or you can give the tickets to the Celtic supporting people in your life. You don't even have to do well, just come on and play Beat the Pundit, that's all. And by the way, you're up against Mark Wilson or Gordon DL, so there's every chance you'll win the signed ball as well. Lines close at 7, get in touch.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. We heard from Malik Tillman describe his chances of being a Rangers player next season as 50-50 in his mind. That sparked quite an interesting debate about whether you would go for that or not. And if you want to keep that theme going, please do. Celtic fans, just before the news, we heard from Callum McGregor and talking about, you know, taking lessons and learning from that game at the weekend and ultimately trying to make sure it doesn't happen again. So if you've any thoughts on those, feel free. If you want to move on, then again, please do. If there's something else out there you want to discuss, 0141 951 1025. This before anything else, though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. How was the form last week, you
good.
Two?
Good.
Pretty strong.
Good, yeah. We all got a win.
I loved last night's contestant style. He came on and I said, "How do you usually do at home?" And he said, "Ah, all right, I usually get a three." And he got a three and lost to Kenny Miller. So he's, at least
right.
he was.
Three's not all right. At least is he was. He's hopeless.
He was
three's
consistent.
Not bad. You won me a three.
Mick is in Drumchapel. How's it going, Mick?
Ah, good, mate. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. You're a winner already, of course, Mick. Four tickets tonight with Scott Brown and Mikael Lustig at the Hydro on Thursday. Happy with that?
Fantastic, mate. Of course.
Good. Don't good hang up, though. You need, you still stay and play Beat the Pundit, all right?
Fantastic.
Good,
mate.
Good, right, let's do it. I'll toss the coin. If it's heads, it will be. How have you not been asked to go on stage at that, actually?
Listen, I've had plenty nights with Scott Brown and Mikael Lustig.
It looks like the vast every other person remotely linked with Celtic.
They went down that Legends list yet.
Anyway, heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel. And it is, this is your stage, really, isn't it?
I mean,
when
this is the big stage.
So you will play Mick in
Drumchapel. Good luck, Mick.
Good luck, mate.
And what I'll do here is I'll give Mark something else to listen to, some greatest hits radio, just so that he can't hear us. Mick, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okie dokie.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds starts now. Who joined Celtic from Rubin Kazan in July 2021?
Cal Stafford.
Who's played in more league games this season, John Souter or Ridvan Yilmaz?
Souter.
Who are Scotland men's team's next opponents?
Oh, pass.
After Kevin Van Veen, who's Motherwell's top league scorer this season?
Oh, Slattery.
Owen Coyle finished his playing career with which current Scottish Premiership team?
Pass.
Oh, you can name a team. You should have named a team. Just pick one in those situations anyway.
I know, but I heard the clock ticking there, mate.
Exactly, I know. Mark Wilson, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Can't believe it. In that.
Don't you just, I'm turning your mic off. You don't give anything away.
No, no. But right,
you and your slippers just go and entertain yourself. Mark, you ready?
Yes.
Who joined Celtic from Rubin Kazan in July 2021?
Starfield.
Who's played more league games this season, Ridvan Yilmaz or John Souter?
Yilmaz.
Who are Scotland men's team's next opponents?
Denmark.
After Kevin Van Veen, who's Motherwell's top scorer in the league this season?
Spill.
Owen Coyle finished his playing career with which current Scottish Premiership team?
St Johnson.
In what year did Inverness last win the Scottish Cup?
2015.
And what nationality is Hibs player Eli Yuan?
He is French.
Okay. What do you think, Mick?
I think it's a question done there,
Carl Starfield. I mean, that's a sneaky question for me. Because Haksabanovic and Abelgaard, I think, both came from Rubin Kazan, but just at different times.
Ah.
So it was Starfield, and you both got it. John Souter's played 9 times, Yilmaz 6. Well done, Mick. You're 2-1 in front. Scotland men's team next play Norway.
Denmark.
You're going to things up. Sneak up on you. You know, you think like, it's in the summer, it's miles away. A month tomorrow, that game takes place. There you go. After Kevin Van Veen, who's Motherwell's top scorer in the league? Mick went Slattery. It is Blair Spittle.
Equaliser.
Here's the statos, right? Don't know any team out there where the difference between the top scorer in the league and the second scorer in the league is 20 goals. Surely not. That must be some sort of weird
Celtic
record.
No.
Oh, come on.
So who's second top goal scorer?
Like Abada and Maeda. Abada, Jota, etc. They'll
still
be
far away.
They'll be within 20 of Kyogo.
What's Kyogo? 30?
Nonsense. Anyway,
double figures. They'll be far.
Owen Coyle finished
St. Johnston.
With St Johnston. Mark goes 1 in front. Mick.
Crucial time, Mick.
Inverness won the cup. in 2015.
Oh, how's that, Mick?
Oh, and Mick, he's.
All right, well.
I know.
All right, well.
Well, listen, since he didn't get invited onto the stage, I'll take him anyway.
You're an afterthought, mate. Mark Wilson.
I'd rather be an afterthought.
Eli Ewan is French.
Thank you.
You're running away with it.
Make sure you wear a nice watch, Mark. I've got a wee magician, pal.
I don't have any more nice watches, trust me.
Well, a magic performance from Mark Wilson. That was a 5-2 win. Hard lines, Mick, but enjoy your night on Thursday.
Thank you, mate. I will.
Good man. Well done, Mick.
Well
seen. You didn't get an invite, though.
No, I'm busy.
I get 4 tickets as well, you know.
Well, is that where they get 4?
Yeah, it was 4.
He wouldn't leave the comfort of his own armchair, Gordon. He had a nice 3-course meal, entertainment prepared for him on Sunday night, and he wouldn't leave his recliner.
I'm still really disappointed you didn't come to
you
the
would
PFA
have loved it.
Night.
You would have loved it. I know for a fact you would have loved it.
The meal
was great.
My days
way.
Of mixing with the celebs are gone, I think.
It's not about mixing with celebs, it's your friends, Mark.
By the way,
there's
a lot of people asking Stevens. After you.
Yeah, okay.
I was getting lots of messages on Instagram saying, "Where's the dazzler?"
Nah, I was busy. Unfortunately, I didn't have engagement.
Busy.
I was, Gordon.
Netflix.
I've got a very private life, and I've got a lot of commitments. And
says the guy that airs his dirty laundry on this show,
and had a private investigator following him for a lot of
stuff anymore. There's 14 goals between Kyogo and Jota.
Oh, not much.
There you go.
Well.
I've got to say that was a good performance. I'd have struggled in some.
I know you would have.
First
I was on the ball.
First one I ain't getting Starfield. No chance. I'd have got Coyle at St Johnston, of course, easy.
I thought you were good.
I'd have got Shooter.
Yeah, it was good.
But good tonight, Mark.
Thanks. Good feedback,
yeah.
Daz. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, encouragement. That's my new way going forward.
That's your new mantra, is
yeah,
it?
I feel I've got to encourage you.
Much positivity. I must admit, I thought there was, I read this headline and immediately thought it was something to do with you. I don't even know if I can read this out. Have you seen Raith Rovers' big news today? No.
Oh, hold on.
No.
They're under new ownership,
no,
so something
that.
Must happen.
No, it's just that Liam Dick has renewed his contract for a new season, right? But you want to see the headline they've chosen. I'm assuming it's deliberate. It must be. There's no way it's accidental. But it's probably had the right effect, because it's got nearly 1,400 likes.
Come on.
Well, it's a family show.
You remember reading the headline.
You remember the player's name?
Yeah.
Right. So
Liam Dick.
So the headline is surname extension.
Ah,
right.
Oh, so that's clever.
Whoever's in charge of the tweets, well done to you, because it's got more retweets and likes than any Raith Rovers contract news, I would imagine.
No, the only time that's happened in Raith Rovers.
And then again I'm giving them credit, I'm sure it must be deliberate, and hashtag you belong.
That's clever.
That is good.
Whoever's like, written that deserves their money.
Get it?
I've got it.
Yeah. Trust me, he gets it. He gets it often.
I would write there.
Anyway, 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB if you'd like to get in touch. And we'd love to have you, quite frankly. Giovanni is in Shawlands. How's it going?
It's brilliant. Good. Sunny night.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're in like a windowless, almost windowless studio, but I'll take your word for it. What's your point tonight?
I mean, I'd just like to talk about how much Ange has improved. I mean, obviously, his first season wasn't too great. But, I mean, the fact they could go from a double to a treble, I think it could really show the improvement. But I think the key factor would be Europe. I mean, if we could somehow win a knockout tie, that could help us a lot. But to even make it out of the group, I think, would be a big improvement for the team. But I thought one of the main points I could have made was, I think losing Giakoumakis would affect us in Europe massively, because I don't think Kyogo would cut it, to be honest. I mean, I think he's a brilliant player, but I just think all these big clubs in Europe, they can handle someone that's small and fast, but they can't really handle someone that's big and strong like Giakoumakis.
Harsh critic to describe last season is not great. I'll give Giovanni the benefit of the doubt. There was obviously a slower start before Celtic came into it, whereas this season it was foot to the floor early on. The only thing though, Giovanni, Giakoumakis played in Champions League games last season as well, this season as well, didn't he? It's not like he was some magic Champions League player that's now gone.
I just think that, I think the good example is it was against Real Madrid. I mean, when you see their centre-backs, Eder, Militao, and they've got Mudiger. I mean, with Ole, he's got the strongness, but I just think he has that missing power that Edward had and Dembele had, where they could kind of just turn and go, whereas Ole, I feel like he's nervy at his feet and he's missing chances that he should bury.
Giakoumakis did start the home game against Real Madrid, Mark. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult because comparing yourself to Real Madrid's maybe not a wise sort of starting point, but is that a difficult one for Celtic to try? Because, I mean, let's be honest, Kyogo's been, well, best player in Scotland this season. He's clean sweep at Celtic's own awards as well, so...
Well, listen, I thought they were all misfiring in the Champions League last season. Whoever was leading the line for Celtic, Giakoumakis missed chances, so did Kyogo. We spent an awful lot of time chatting about expected goals for Celtic and how they were playing the right way, but the top end of the pitch, the cutting edge just wasn't there. Now, that separates you from the best teams. Mm. You can go toe for toe and you can have, you know, a high percentage of possession in these games, but if you don't convert your chances, you will fall out of the group. That's where Celtic do have to get better. However, I think Kyogo deserves another crack at it. I think he's good enough. I think he can show, he can finish. Maybe second time round in the Champions League, he's maybe just that wee bit more composed.
It was interesting as well, right? So most people, I never try and speak on behalf of everyone, but a lot of the stuff we were hearing in the last couple of weeks is that, you know, Kyogo, is he the best Celtic striker since Larsson? That since, not including, but since. So I think if you're asking that question, that suggests to me most people feel like he's a better Celtic striker than Dembele was, as good as Dembele, you know, turned out to be for Celtic. But Giovanni's quite right. Dembele did manage to make an impact in those Champions League, didn't he? So is that a stylistic thing? Do some players just have that sort of step up where they don't necessarily need to even be as good at domestic level? But you remember that Rodgers campaign. He got a couple, didn't he, against Man City, I think.
Yeah, it was a big one at home. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no doubt Dembele's stature on the pitch, physical presence, was much greater than Kyogo's. And sometimes in those games, you do notice it more because the opposition you're up against. But it's not to say that Kyogo can't have a similar effect with his smaller stature. I mean, some of the chances that fell to him in this year's campaign, who's to say when it falls to him next year's campaign against the big hitters, he puts him away. And then we're comparing both and saying, well, he's taking it to the next level. So I don't think we should write him off just because he had a quiet Champions League campaign.
Giovanni,
this year,
have you always, you know, has this been on your mind for a while? It's not been accelerated because of the game at the weekend or anything, has it?
I mean, of course, the game at the weekend would have some kind of say in it. But I mean, just because what we were talking about Dembele, I mean, I think personally, maybe I'll get a lot of stick for it, but I don't think Kyogo is or was better than what Dembele was or Edward personally. But I think that even the Man City game, for example, Dembele was excellent, and that was against a prime, some would say, Man City team that I think, and there was some stat that we were the only team that couldn't beat or jumped the Celtic home and away. And I think Dembele's goals, I mean, scoring goals against teams as big as that, I think proves that he would be the better player. Because I think if you put Kyogo in that situation, I don't think he would have the power for it. But saying that, I don't think that brings down Kyogo. I think he's still an excellent player. And I mean, people were laughing at him when he came in to the Celtic team, being so small and short. But I think he's definitely made a name for himself. But I mean, I think maybe next season, if he could improve his game a lot more in the Champions League, then I think it could be on the table about comparing him to Dembele and being the best since Larsson. But right now, from what he showed, I just think he's still missing something.
Those are just such small samples though as well, aren't they? That's the tough thing. Because you're right, you're like, if you only get a couple of big moments, you need to take them. So I'm not saying you should disregard it, but if I didn't count, but let's say Kyogo missed, I don't know, 4 chances in the group stage. I don't know what it was, right? Say, I've plucked that number out of nowhere, but it's not like he's missed 16 gilt-edged chances. It was probably a few, and then Dembele sticks a few away. Mm-hmm. Small samples, isn't it? Unfortunately, it's not like our Scottish teams, certainly in recent times, they don't qualify for the Champions League every year and then get out of the groups where you've got loads and loads of Champions League games to really, you know, base it on.
Yeah, it's fine margins. I think you could have a better argument if you're sitting here saying, you know, Kyogo's had a go at the Champions League and didn't get a sniff of a chance. I think Mark's right. You get another year, you know what you're getting into, you've experienced it, so you'll have learned from that. And who's to say that if those chances do fall to him, and especially in the goal scoring form he's been in this season, with the confidence he's got, he doesn't start tucking a couple of them away, and all of a sudden that reputation about Europe completely turns on its head. So look, everybody makes good points about that. You can compare Dembele's, Edwards and people like that. I thought they were terrific centre forwards, just a different stature to Kyogo. But Kyogo is a terrific centre forward that can score goals and make great runs. So I think we've got to give him an opportunity this year to go out there, and if those chances do fall him again, stick them in the back of the net.
I mean, chance taking is obviously one of the hardest parts, Mark, and it sort of, it's the bit that adds zeros onto your price tag and all the rest of it. But it just, if you, I get what Gordon's saying, if you had a player that got in areas and missed a couple of chances versus someone who you think, oh, look at that, this game's completely passing them by, that they're not in it, that's not necessarily what you would say for Celtic's front players in the Champions League. It's just that when the moments came along,
it just looked a stage too soon for them at that time.
That's what I mean. Is it that, or is it just quite simply a few chances came along and he happened not to take them? I know we like to be able to explain everything away, but sometimes
You can only compare it to what he's been like in the league, and when similar chances have failed him in the league, you put them away. So how do you explain on the big stage him not?
Just a sample though. Like I say, does he miss? Will he miss one or will he miss three or four chances across three or four games? You know,
Of course, there's only six games to make your mark, and within those games your chances are diluted, of course, than what they would be domestically. But with Kyogo, there's so much more to his game that he allows the team to play in different ways. So you're right, if he's a centre forward who stands against centre halves and it's easy for them all day long, you don't see him and you think, well, what's the point of him being on the pitch? But if he doesn't score, he contributes in other ways. That's what I think separates them from Dembele and Edward. They had the stature, they had the goal scoring prowess as well, and they were fantastic, good at set pieces. But Kyogo's work rate, energy, the way he stretches defences, all plays into the way this Ange Postecoglou
team plays. He goes into the next tournament in a better mindset as a centre forward because of the domestic goals he scored. You're coming off a season, how many has he got just now gone? What's he?
31.
It's around that.
Right. Still a few games to go.
No, he's on the 30 mark.
So he can hit 35 goals. As a striker, hitting 30 plus in a season, you are desperate for the next season to start. And he's getting in there with the confidence of knowing that he finds a back in it. His runs are better. He's got another season under his belt. He's a better player. Everybody, Celtic fans, are saying that, you know, Celtic never stop, got to bring in better players. So I would not be writing Kyogo off in the Champions League so far.
Thank you very much, Giovanni. It's 01419511025, and we will take more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a teaser I've got for you tonight. It is incredible. What I'm actually going to do, I'm going to move away, I think, slightly from the usual format, because looking for 12 answers here, right? It's an answer for each team in the league. I think we just see how many you get. Is that a different way of doing it? You happy with that? Let's see how many you can get. I'm not going to force you to try and get the 12 because I think it's beyond the intellectual level that you two possess, quite frankly. No offence.
And I'd
like
to agree.
Said with love and affection.
That's offensive.
But we'll just see how we go, right? Cool. Because I'm not sure you're even going to understand the question.
Yeah, that's
this is one of these nights that I'm going to need to repeat it 10 times.
That's definitely offensive. You're not going to understand the question.
Well, listen, he's got history,
right?
Let's be honest.
Right, let's go.
Okay, for each of the top flight clubs, can you name the player that is their top scorer since 2000-2001, but their surname begins with the same letter as the club?
Oh my God. No chance.
So for the top flight clubs that are in at the moment,
right,
who is their top flight league scorer this century but their name must begin with the same letter as the club.
Their first
Chris
name
Collins.
Is the
same.
There we go. See, glad you're with a
Adam
guy that
Rooney.
Not only understood for who?
Aberdeen. Is it A?
Is it a surname?
Oh, you never said surname.
I did.
Oh, did you?
You were right, Gordon. You were 100% right.
Do you know what it is? He thinks that Chris begins with a C.
A C.
Exactly. So did I.
There we go. Chris Commons.
Well done. I like that.
So Adam Rooney is not on the list.
Right. This is going to be difficult.
Oh, it's brutal because some of them could have, like,
I know,
not many goals at all, but. Go on, your hometown team.
Louis Moult.
There you go.
Yes.
You're ticking along nicely. Yeah. We'll try and get back to it at some point. And believe me when I say the questions do not need to be that hard. But the Crazy Pony sent that one into full time at Clyde1.com.
Who thinks of them? You've got to have a word with yourself if you're actually
meeting
them.
Because we are very appreciative of it being sent in.
No, I love it.
Fulltime@Clyde1.com. That's the address that you can send them into, and please do. Keep your calls coming. We'll try and get into as many more as we can between now and the end of the show. But just before we go any further, something even more important, even more important than the usual football discussion that we have here on the show. We did this last night. We're going to do it all week.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, supporting Mental Health Awareness Week.
Hopefully you listened last night. If you didn't know, we are supporting something more important than the football this week, Mental Health Awareness Week, all week long. We're just going to basically talk to as many interesting people as we can, discuss how football can support people who are struggling by having a positive impact on our mental well-being, because let's be honest, it's something that will be close to pretty much all of you one way or another who are listening. Last night we spoke to Joe McKee, plays for Dumbarton but also works for charity Back On Side, telling us about some of the great work they do. Now tonight we're delighted to be joined by Isla Buchanan. She's a Scottish football referee and an SFA ambassador. Isla, how are you? Are you well?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Now you've actually been on this show before. It was quite a while ago, so I don't know if the regular listeners will remember. You had the misfortune of actually being here in the studio, so it's much easier when you can just not see these ugly faces in here, isn't it?
Yeah, it was quite a while ago now thinking about it. Yeah,
it was. Now, like, partly revisit some of that because it's an important week, but also maybe look at how things are for you currently. So I suppose to dive straight in, tell us a little bit about how football has impacted your life.
The straightforward point is football saved my life. It continues to do so. So back when I was 12, my mum had a stroke, and it kind of changed my life overnight. Became a young carer, was looking after my younger siblings as well. A lot of things changed in my life as well, you know, going through from the primary school to going up to secondary school and the transition from that. And I then sort of bottled everything up for about a year, and then I had a bit of a mental breakdown at the age of 13. My dad took me to the doctors, and I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression. And it was a lot to take at such a young age, and football was really that thing, that my passion. It was what got me away from all the daily struggles and things at home, and it still continues to be the main reason I am here today.
And what is it about football as a whole, you know, as an industry, as a pastime that you think has made such a positive impact on you?
For me, I think it's quite a lot of that sense of community. I feel when I'm at, you know, at training or whether I'm watching football, I feel part of something. I feel safe. I feel secure. I feel, you know, it takes my mind when, you know, obviously I'm a football referee. So when I'm refereeing, it's that 90 minutes on the pitch where I am focused on that game. Nothing else is in my head at that point apart from that game. And it's the same when I'm watching football. I'm just solely focused on the game, on the TV or wherever it might be, at the stadiums or what it might be. But it just really, that sense that most of my pals are from football and refereeing, and, you know, just that really sense of I have a lot of things in common with people, and it's just given me that real sense of community.
Obviously the main aim for this week, Isla, is that we can maybe even speak to one person or two people out there who are listening. I mean, maybe, hopefully, many more. But if it was just one person who was listening, who recognised that maybe they're feeling in a similar way that, that you were feeling, and maybe they would sort of, you know, speak out. What would your advice be to anyone who is maybe feeling that, that life was getting a bit heavy for them?
I think for me, and the biggest bit of advice is that the biggest hurdle that anybody can overcome is admitting it to themselves, admitting that you are unwell and that you are struggling with your mental health. I think that is one of the biggest challenges. And once you come over that, that hurdle of admitting it to yourself, it sometimes can be a lot easier in taking the steps forwards. But if anybody is feeling low, is feeling not quite themselves and is struggling with their mental health, is to seek help. People are out there to listen. People are willing to help. And there's loads of different charities and organisations that you can go on to anonymously as well. So if you weren't feeling like you were right up to the courage to speak to someone face-to-face, you can do these sort of things anonymously online as well. So if you are struggling, please seek help. There will be people there to help you and to listen. One thing is, you're not alone. So many people suffer with this, but you can get out the other side of it, I promise.
And do you know what I wonder, Ella? I wonder if it's, you know, without being an expert, this is where my own curiosity comes into it. I wonder if it's important also to maybe acknowledge that this is not necessarily, you know, something that, that does just click and, you know, and is fixed instantly. Is it maybe important to realise that, you know, once you acknowledge it and then maybe once you're on the right track, maybe there will still be, you know, bumps in the road and then you have to negotiate that? Is it a long process? Is it worth bearing that in mind?
100%. You know, I'm going on 22 now. I was 13 when I was first diagnosed, and I still have my good days and my bad days, but it's something you learn to cope with and manage. So when I'm feeling anxious, I know the certain triggers. I know what I feel like and what might start to be coming on, and I know what I need to do to prevent that from becoming worse. So that would be, like, for me, going watching football or whatever the case may be. So it is an ongoing process. It's a long journey ahead, but once you start feeling overall better yourself, things get so much easier. Once you jump that first hurdle, things do get easier. You know, the bubble will burst. You will continue going. It is a work in progress, 100%.
Now, if people would, certainly listening to this show, would imagine refereeing can be an unforgiving environment. How is that? And explain a bit more about how that is such a release for you.
Yeah, most people find it crazy when I say, yeah, those 90 minutes on the pitch, I'm calm, I'm in my happy place. Most people find that really bizarre, but for me, it's just because I have to focus on, you know, 22 players plus sidelines and a ball flying about the place all at one time. My brain can only focus on that at one time. And, you know, I think they're running about. You've just got so many things to focus on. And, you know, I can have a laugh with the players as well. You know, I enjoy being on a pitch and my referee's kept the whistle in my hand. I really do enjoy it. And that's my sense of, you know, my getaway time as well.
How do you reflect on that journey that you've been on? I mean, you've now become a real champion for stuff like this, which is so admirable. So I guess you publicly revisit it quite a lot, like you're doing right now. What's that process like? Does that help in itself?
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes it definitely is a challenge. And recently, when the Scottish FA reached out and asked if I would do a sort of revisit about the power of football and how it still continues to help me, it was kind of, you know, it does. I do reflect on my life quite a lot and the changes and the things that have happened. Now I'm living in a whole other city. I'm, you know, on the journey of becoming a mental health nurse myself. So a lot has changed, and there is that sense of, you know, proud, that sense of achievement that I've, you know, come through some really tough, dark times in my life, but I'm continuing to push on and, you know, achieving some incredible things. And, you know, it's one thing I would always tell anybody is that, you know, things will get easier, times will get easier. You just have to keep pushing. One thing I'd sort of describe is that it's like a black bubble. You know, you feel you're so stuck in this bubble, it's never going to burst. But if you keep poking at it, it will burst and you will be the light again.
I mean, I think to sort of end where we started, I think one of the first things you said, and, you know, it was part of the Scottish FA video series where we first saw you, you know, that phrase that football saved my life. I mean, people might think that's, you know, some sort of exaggeration or it's a sort of buzz phrase, but is it genuinely that strong for you?
100%. I will happily shout it from the hilltops. It is the reason I am here today, and I will tell everybody that, you know, when the times were so tough, I was out coaching, playing, refereeing most nights of the week. That was my escape. That was my time to be a 13, 14-year-old girl at the time, and it continues to still be my escape. So I will openly and honestly always say that it's really saved my life.
Brilliant. Well, you should be really proud of the way you're able to come on shows like this and speak out. I'm sure there will be numerous people out there really touched by what you had to say tonight. Isla, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you so much. You take care.
Thank you very much. There we are. Isla Buchanan, Scottish football referee, Scottish FA ambassador. And what a story, Mark Wilson.
Incredible. Very sad what's happened to Isla, but with a bright future for her at the minute. It's great that football can play such a big part in people's lives and drag them out of holes, especially where Isla's been. But it's great her coming on and speaking about it, because there will be people just now listening to this show who've heard Isla's words and think, yeah, listen, there's people at the moment I am at the minute, but there is a shining light, like Isla says there. So well said.
I mean, like, in case anyone's just switched on, we're doing this small section every night this week for Mental Health Awareness Week. Is that something that even Mark, because you retired relatively recently, do you think football was completely lacking at that time? It maybe is still lacking a bit. Are we getting there? How do you reflect on maybe some of the challenges in the game? And now, of course, you're involved in the charity sector as well.
No doubt about it. We've made huge progress, and there's still a long way to go in the mental health side. But when I retired, or when I was in the game and I retired 31, it wasn't even spoke about. Now, that's a relatively short time ago, so it shows you how far we have came to recognising the problems and the different issues that people have and making spaces available for them to chat about it and to come out and open about it and share the problems. But like I say, we're never done. We've got so much work to do, but there's great charities now set up that deal with this sort of things and make these issues much more well known than the ones were.
Well, hopefully you were as moved and inspired by Isla as we were. And I said that, you know, you call us if you want. We can certainly point you in the right direction. We've been speaking to a number of charities and so on this week, so if any of that spoke to you, if you recognise any of that and you really am not too sure of where to turn, well, just give us a call, 01419511025, and we'll do our very best. So thank you again to Isla, and we'll get the answers to your full time teaser next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL, Mark Wilson, both here on the usual number, or Twitter if you'd rather. Let's see how you're faring on this full time teaser. A bit different today. I'm not going to force you to get all 12. I think it's very tough. We're just having a bit of fun towards the end of the show. So the question, and it is a cracker, and it's funny how these things live on. I honestly still get messages from people saying, what were the answers to that teaser that you did 3 weeks ago?
People love it.
End up scrolling through.
I hate it.
So tonight, for each of the top flight teams in Scotland, so there are 12 of them obviously, who is their top league scorer this century with the same letter linking their surname and the club? Like, that sounds confusing, I appreciate that, but as an example, Celtics is Commons, okay? Motherwell's is Malt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So once you get the answers, it becomes a bit easier to get your head around. What have you gone for?
Aberdeen, Russell Anderson.
Wonderful. I mean, that just shows the mark of your knowledge, because he's not scored that many, obviously.
No, he's a defender. He's been there that long.
But no player with a surname beginning with A has scored more in this period.
I've got more, but they're probably all wrong. But okay, I'm going for him. I'm going Rangers. There's two for me. Ray or Roof?
You think Alex Roof. Ray scored more? And I hope he's listening.
Gavin.
Either of them. They were hardly goal machines, were they?
Roof,
well done.
Right.
What about John Sutton, St Mirren?
Oh, beautiful.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
I'm very impressed at this. I thought this was going to be tough.
Hanlon Hibs.
It's got to be in it. I've got Hanlon done as well.
Have you?
This is incredible. What an effort.
Oh, don't. I'm keeping going.
You're going to get all 12.
No, I'm not.
No, we won't.
I've got three.
No, the guy
Hearts
that's texting you is.
Aye.
I swear.
Oh, let me guess. You've not looked at your phone. I know. Hurry up. Give me the next answer.
Right. Either Hull or Hartley for Hearts.
Which
Paul
one?
Hartley.
It is Paul Hartley.
Oh.
Aye. Brilliant.
Swanson, St Johnson.
Nah, you're out of luck. You're out of luck. Let's bring in Peter, who's on the line. How are you, Peter?
Very well, Gordon and Mark. I'm sorry to stop the dazzler. He was right on form there.
No, it's the best thing anyone could have done, Peter. He needs stopped in many ways. So what are your thoughts tonight?
No, I just had a couple of issues. Not issues, a couple of points. I just want to pay tribute to Isla, who gave that beautiful and amazing inspirational story about mental health just before the adverts. I just want to say really
well done,
Peter. Isla.
Thank you very much.
That's amazing. I think the other issue, I was on a couple of months ago, actually. We were talking about comparison between Maeda and Nevada in terms of wing play and for Celtic. And so the theme being comparisons. And you know, just listening to the conversation earlier on about Kyogo and being compared to Edward and Dembele and their exploits. And it sort of got me thinking again. I thought, you know, are we comparing people? Should we be comparing these strikers? I mean, for me, Kyogo is just amazing. You know, you can't say that he shouldn't be in the team. 30-odd goals a season, he's got to be in the team. If I was Ange, I'd, don't get me wrong, I'm the same as every other Celtic supporter. I absolutely adore the guy. But are we a bit short up front? Should we be looking for a third striker? Is it not so much about comparing Owen Kyogo? Should we not be getting someone else in? And again, this might be a bit controversial, but I'm thinking Van Veen. I know there's been rhetoric about him going to Rangers. and I know that Gordon probably wouldn't want, or yourself would not want him going to Celtic. But if this guy can score the amount of goals that he's scoring with Motherwell, surely to add him to a third strike force for Celtic must be a thought. And let's not forget Lubo, who no one had ever heard of, joined Celtic when he was 31, the same age as Van Veen. My final point is, Ange Ball has been amazing, but should we next season be thinking about offering some of the opposition a bit of a surprise? Are we playing into Rangers' hand? Do they know how to play us now? Do we need, and would Van Veen give it that extra little, angle of surprise? So I guess those are my points.
Yeah, let's put them to the guys. Kevin, Van Veen to Celtic. Could you see it?
No, probably couldn't. But I've got to agree. I think Celtic need another striker.
Scott McDonald trod the same path, went on to score goals in the Champions League, big goals in the Champions League for Celtic.
I think in domestic football, I have no doubt whatsoever that Van Veen could come off the bench for Celtic or Rangers and pop goals in. It's whether they want to go down that road with being 31, and I know the caller makes a good point about, you can bring in.
He's picked a very, very high bar example.
Nobody's got to beat that bar, but. No, I don't see that the way that Michael Beale or Ange Postecoglou's got to look at. But I definitely agree that get into all these games, the European campaign, I think you need at least three very good strikers.
Can clubs like Celtic carry three very good strikers? That's the bit I always struggle with that, because if you can, then obviously. But how good is the guy that's third fiddle?
Yeah.
In Scottish football,
it's hard.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very difficult. And Jackie Marcus obviously saw O coming in, where Ange Postecoglou obviously foreseen that move, but he wasn't hanging about because maybe his game time would be watered down a bit. It is difficult, but I would agree. Celtic do need someone else in now. What kind of level that is? My worry would just now, Kyogo could get injured, okay, like everybody else. O would be the main man, of course he would be. It's who else is coming now. Maeda's the one who sometimes replaces him through the middle. We've seen Abada play there, but they're not a natural striker. I think there is room for someone else, and even if it is just for competition, to keep pushing Kyogo, and you're pushing one along at a time, then fine.
That would be my point though. Your guy that's third choice, or even just the third person, then, even if it's not third choice, you know, are they on, I don't know, are they on 15, 20, 25 grand a week to play the odd game? Is that, and like I say, if they are third choice, are they at a level then that it's not better just sticking Maeda there for the one or two games that you might need to do it? I'm not saying that's necessarily my view, but it must be a really difficult balance in the day and age where teams like Celtic just play with one focal point.
Of course, it certainly is, but that's what man management is. A lot of people think Ange Postecoglou just picks his players and they go out and play and everybody's happy. A lot of it's keeping the guys on the bench and the stand happy as well. But I'm pretty sure the Celtic manager would want reinforcements in that, and it's up to him how he manages it and how he puts the position up for competition. No doubt Kyogo's way ahead at O, and if another comes in, it's not to say that somebody can't force their way into a team for a certain fixture, like Peter's mentioning. Maybe, you know, against certain teams, it's an option that Ange Postecoglou might not have at this minute. He might want to try and exercise.
Yeah. I totally get that. It just sounds like we're arranging some sort of novelty special teams player who just you're gonna need to keep and pay all the time. But you might see him now and then when the circumstances are particularly different.
The way the Celtic manager goes about his business, he rotates his substitutions. You know, he makes a lot of substitutions most games. He was overloaded in the middle of the park and kept everybody happy. I just think that if you're a manager there going into these games,
there are three slots there though, aren't there?
You can argue that point. But you get into these games and the opportunity to have another extra striker in there pushing everybody, I think it's only healthy for competition. And plus the fact you never know the niggles and knocks and the time of rest players and take them out the firing line. So I think the more the better. And I think every man,
Where would that be on your Celtic priority list?
It's very hard to see where you would start. Me personally, I'd be looking at centre back position just now, probably strengthening there. I know Mark's not a great fan of Burnaby at the left back spot.
Because that would be it. So if we're talking sheer numbers here, like no offence if he's listening, but I think you would probably look at discounting Stephen Welsh now. It looks like the future might be elsewhere. So at the moment Celtic have got the three centre backs for two spots, and you want the three strikers for one. So it does feel like it's a lot. Or they are particularly lacking in that area.
I've no doubt that Celtic will go in the market for centre backs this the close season. I've no doubt in that whatsoever. The one thing is, depends how many goes out allows you, because obviously that frees up wages as well, and it gives you the opportunity to bring in obviously Champions League money, as everyone was discussing. I do think that in an ideal world for Postecoglou, I would probably be looking at our centre forward for me.
You've got them going anyway, Peter. We appreciate it. That was Peter on the line on 01419511025. I think it will definitely be the last call of tonight because we're almost out of time. Go on then. How are you doing in this teaser? We're looking really to name players who've got the same surname. Their surname starts with the same letter as their team, and they're the top scorer for that team with that. I'm making a mess of this question.
You know where I'm going. Yeah. Celtic, come on, any chance?
No. Greg Kilty is not Comarnock's. Who else would it be?
Wallace Livy.
No, actually, no.
Lovell. Derek Lally.
Yes.
Is that not who I shouted?
No.
Who did I shout?
Derek Lyle.
Lily, I mean.
I did just see how many you're getting. I'm not bored if you get them all.
So Kilty's not a Kilmarnock one. That's amazing.
So you've like Hartley is Hearts, Hanlon is Hibs, Commons is Celtic, Anderson Aberdeen, so on. You've not got your old team,
Dundee United.
I don't think that's the hardest on here.
No,
guy's got a lot of goals, a lot more goals than some of the other names in this list.
John Daly.
I go to that first.
Two absolute children, honestly. Yep. Oh. Yeah, please do me a favour, forget about Ross County, verging on impossible.
Right.
You've not got St Johnstone, you've not got Kelly
Ricketts, no, Ross County.
I forget Ross County, I say. Kelly's
easy, is it? Canberra? Yeah. No,
played for Hearts as well, played for Sunderland, Scotland International.
Kevin Kyle.
Well, why am I shouting into the mic?
I don't know.
Camden.
Am I allowed?
That's nearly you, really, just St Johnstone's.
I went Swanson.
No, where are Connor, Colin Samuel.
Went to Rangers and left Sandaza. Under weird circumstances.
Sandaza.
Well done. Christopher Routis.
Nah,
never didn't think so. Anyway, back tomorrow at 6 and Callum is up next.